With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
To lock in all that flavor. And welcome to Bink at Night. It's a rain-out version of the show. Supposed to do it tomorrow night and Thursday. Did it last night, but rain-out tomorrow. The Royals, doubleheader. A lot of Cootie Tap tomorrow. 12:15 and 6:45 for the Kansas City Royals tomorrow right here on 610 Sports Radio. Bubba did not get the call up from the Kansas City Royals. That was a big mystery. Who's going to be called up as Chris Nocera produces this operation? Been a long time since I've worked with Chris.
Been a few months.
I mean, I've done a lot of Royal stuff with you back when I was had my cup of coffee as a Royals insider. Yes. We've done Chiefs Post together. We've done a lot of stuff, Chris. We did a high school football show.
We did. That is true.
But Kevin McCarthy got the call up. His last 8 appearances, he's given up one run. So he gets the call up. The Royals can still call up a 26th man. Brad Keller in game one. Homer Bailey in game two in St. Louis for the Kansas City Royals. And Bubba Sterling, you know, look at his hits. What did I tell you? 34 of his 43 hits or 35 of his 44 hits are all singles.
He's the next Eric Hosmer or Lorenzo Cain. That's probably a little bit more. Lorenzo Cain was a singles hitter, so I think that's probably pretty good.
6'4", 215. He's got some size.
Yeah, that doesn't mean everybody hits home runs, though, at that size.
Well, the bad news is, looks like, you know, everybody tweeting out Cleveland's going to host the 2021 draft. This news is supposed to go out tomorrow. That was the big news. So it looks like Cleveland tomorrow. Still, it's up for grabs. Where Pro Football Talk put it out, Cleveland feeling good about chances to host the NFL draft. League expected they announced 2021 and possibly more this week. Will Kansas City be in the possibly more for the NFL draft? And I say yes. I say 100% yes because, Chris, I've always said it. With these cold weather cities, you might as well get it. I know they're going to – they did Nashville this week, and they're not going to ever get the Super Bowl. They're doing Vegas next year. Vegas will get the Super Bowl,
yeah,
by the way. L.A. is going to be the mix. Dallas has got it. Dallas has hosted the Super Bowl. Philadelphia's got the draft before. They'll never host the Super Bowl because they were. Chicago's got the draft twice. They'll never host the Super Bowl. I'm fine with that. I'm fine with it being Kansas City. I'm actually okay with it being in Cleveland. Cleveland and Canton made a big bid to host this year's, because it was the 100-year celebration of the NFL. They were going to do it in Canton slash Cleveland. Remember, in Canton, they're building this, like, world of football. And I don't know how the financing of that's going on. They were going to build this, like, football world, right? Five-star hotel, the whole deal.
It's like a theme park?
Yeah, it was going to be like that, man. It's going to be definitely someplace I want to be.
You're going to move to Cleveland so you can be part of this?
It's like a Disneyland of football. You kidding me? Of course I want to go to that.
Do your shows remotely from Cleveland?
Yeah, I'm all about that. So it looks like Cleveland for 2021 – for the NFL draft next year, it's in Las Vegas right before the Raiders play in 2020 in Las Vegas. So you knew Vegas was going to be a challenge. Going to L.A., you know L.A. is going to get it. I always thought you should move these things around, reward the teams. And I would especially reward the teams that take a game and go play them in London or go play a game in Mexico City are the teams that I would reward for the NFL draft. But think about this. The Big 12 tournament in Kansas City raised $14.2 million. It's a lot of money, $14.2 million. You know, NASCAR, when they first, you know, had the tracks here and had the two races, were estimating about $170 million into the economy. NASCAR is a major thing for Kansas City because the whole area prospers. North of the river prospers with hotels. Johnson County prospers. Wyandotte County definitely prospers. All the counties prosper for the NASCAR track exactly where it is. Chicago made around $80, $86 million for the 2 years of economic impact to the city. Philadelphia was about $94.9 million when they hosted the draft in Philadelphia. In Dallas, when it was there last year, about $125.1 million. And they're expecting well over $100 million to be raised for Nashville There was supposedly 600,000 fans. And again, how do you count all these people? It's kind of like the parade we had. How are you estimating that many people? But yeah. I'll give it up to Nashville. That looked like a party. That looked like a place you wanted to be. When you see everybody walking on the streets and the NFL Network sets and ESPN, you know, outside, you could go up there. It just felt like – it felt big time. It felt like a big time event in Nashville. The NFL just does it up big. I would love to see that thing in Kansas City. But then the question is where? You know, they talk about Union Station being a great place for it. The one thing that Nashville offered, a lot of bars and a lot of restaurants. You know, sure, you say, okay, they have it in the Power and Light and they coast it in the Sprint Center and do all that with it. Well, you see how full the Power and Light gets just for something like the Big 12 tournament. And we're talking a hell of a lot more people that go to the NFL draft that fill places up. I mean, that Power and Light gets full, and I understand it's a lot of overflow. People that aren't going to the games. You're hosting, like, what, 19, 20,000 people. And then you have a lot of people in Power and Light, too. But a lot of people that fill up Power and Light during the day and stuff are fans that are going to the game. So what would that look for the NFL? I mean, you're talking, you know, roughly 30,000 people maybe, and then you're talking squeezing 600,000 in?
I think one of the things I think originally when it was kind of being pitched was that it's going to be a Union Station, and they kind of want to make it like an outdoor event, which I think it actually is probably a better idea to do it that way than to just do it in like an arena or in like a hall or something, just because of the fact that you're going to have a lot more, like you could show more of the city off. Cause I think that's one of the things about Nashville that was kind of cool, was that they had this big giant stage, and then you were able to show off some of the scenery in the city. And so it kind of gave you that cool feel about Nashville. I think that's more of what they're going to try to do. Plus, they can make more money off of it because you got more people there watching the draft just, you know, from the outside. So I think it would be more of an outdoor experience, and let's try to fill as many people as we can into, like, the Sprint Center and then have the overflow be over at, like, P&L. I think, yeah, if you have it, like, maybe around, like, Union Station, right around the Lincoln Memorial and whatnot – like, I just know Lincoln Memorial.
Lincoln Memorial. What are you talking about, Aaron?
The World War One Museum and the, like, I think that's where you could get.
Right by the Smithsonian.
Yeah, right by the Smithsonian. Yeah, right over the Washington Monument there. I think that's where you could have it over there, and it'd actually be a really cooler venue that would show off more of Kansas City.
What about the Plaza?
Because I don't know if the Plaza's big enough for it, though.
During the Plaza Lights, and there are over 100,000 people, they say. I mean,
but that's a lot less than 600,000 that were in Nashville.
We handle 600,000.
Yeah, I think we can. We've had 800,000 over there at Union Station.
Yeah, but they got to stay somewhere.
Yeah, but there's hotels and whatnot.
You ever tried to pee when there's that many people?
I mean, you probably, no matter where they have it, if they have it at the Plaza, it's going to be hard for people to pee there, too.
Well, at least there's places to go.
I mean, there's places to go over there and at Union Station. They probably have, like, porta potties near.
Well, they're saying with 600, this is from Fox 17 in Nashville, the city is probably close to 90% full. It says the crowd not only spent money on lodging, but food to eat and drinks to be had. The city is still calculating the exact economic impact. However, Spyridon expects Nashville will blow past the $80 million in direct spending in Dallas, even though I've seen where Dallas was $125 million. Says that using an estimate of $100 million in direct spending, it's if there was 600,000 people there, let me tell you this, it's gonna be more than $100 million.
Yeah.
That was raised in Nashville. Project Nashville finds 2.25% of the sales tax money goes to the metro schools. That totals $225,000. So $225,000 gets put in the schools in downtown Nashville. It's a pretty good deal. 7% of the sales tax goes to the state, totaling $7 million. It's a win for the state of Tennessee. As for hotels, using Spyridon's estimated 31,000 rooms for three nights at an average 150 per night, that's nearly 700,000 to be divided between the Music City Center and the Visitors Corporation in Nashville's general fund. The draft was broadcast to 115 countries with 47.5 million viewers tuning in as Nashville took center stage. And you think about what that does for your city. I mean, we talk all the time what the Heisman Trophy does for your school. You know, having your candidate, you know, being talked about on ESPN, sitting down with Herb Street and Corso and stuff, and then your highlights and your school's logo. These schools make so much money on the Heisman Trophy. Not only that, Chris, but you know what?
I know, because I got a Heisman Trophy Heisman Trophy winner that played for my school.
I know you do. You get a couple, actually.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, Werfel, too.
But now you got one more than that. The old ball coach.
Oh, yeah. Old ball coach. We got three. Yeah.
The old ball coach.
Yeah, I forgot about Spurrier.
Yeah, yeah. Quarterback you. But the bottom line is, it's a spotlight for your city. It looks like, I mean, I was watching it. You know, I was watching the draft. It looked like people were having fun. But not only that, think about all the cities that did the cool videos and stuff whenever they presented, you know, different draft picks. You know, a lot of people at military bases, you name it, they're all over the place doing, like, creative things. They made the NFL draft a spectacle. And we have thought that our city is in line. Kathy Nelson, head of the sports commission, has done everything she could. She's even got the big wigs. Like, the Chiefs involved. And Mark Donovan, you know, goes to these things with her. You know, Clark Hunt needs to swing that stick around a little bit. You know, he
swing the stick.
Now, you know what I mean.
I know what you mean. Not very radio appropriate.
I've never had to dump a producer.
I said it was very close, but I said it the way it should have been.
Oh, online got a treat there. Don't worry, bro. I dumped you.
I don't think online gets that.
They online, do. They do. They get everything. But you know, it's okay. It's FCC. You can.
We dumped it.
You can take. We dumped it. But anyway, hey, Chris got a little excited.
Very, very excited.
But the bottom line is it's where it should be. You know, the Chiefs gave up a home game to go to London. You know, give it back. Give something back to the city. I mean, these things are so big, and it looks like Cleveland, you know, will get it for 2021. It's already going to Vegas next year. Now, they always say they'll do it and beyond, but they never do. It seems like they always like to go one city at a time when they do this announcement. But now a ton of cities want this thing. Now there's over like 20 cities that want it. Kansas City used to be right there with Nashville, and Cleveland is really strong. And Denver. Denver's always been there with Kansas City too. And Denver might be a place that gets that because they'll never get the Super Bowl. And I'm sure they'll reward that city. They have the hotel rooms. They have a lot of the stuff that we don't have. But we've been losing out on stuff to Cleveland. We've been losing out on stuff. We lost the Republican National Convention to Cleveland. We're losing the NFL draft, looks like, to Cleveland. What do we got to do, man? We don't have the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and all that, but come on.
See, here's the thing.
We got the World War I Museum.
Here's the thing. We're
we got the Lincoln Memorial,
we're
as you
like
say.
We're pretty close. Yeah, the Lincoln Memorial. We also got the Washington Monument right next to it.
You'll see all that, yeah.
They're right over there by the Union Station. And one of the things that's like going to help the perception of the city is this World Cup bid that Kansas City is involved in. I know that's one of the things, like, I know both Sporting Kansas City and the Chiefs are very heavily involved in trying to get the word out there about the World Cup bid for 2026. And that's one of the things I think.
It's a huge thing.
It's a huge thing. And if they get awarded some games here, all of a sudden I think that's going to change a lot of the perception of Kansas City as a venue for big events. Because I think that's one of the things that's really hurt our city is that it doesn't really seem like a place where big things happen. So if we start getting, being at the forefront of, you know, a sport like soccer, where we've already got, you know, the Pinnacle Training Facility over there in KCK, once we start getting stuff like that, and we're obviously getting Gold Cup games in June, it's going to help change the perception of this city as a venue for big events. And then next thing you know, we can get these big events like the draft. And all of a sudden, it's going to mean more economic input here from outside sources here to Kansas City. So I think that's really what it comes to, is like somebody taking a chance on Kansas City and like, okay, let's have our event there, and then the NFL's going to come around to it.
Well, I'm with you. And the one thing about, we were so close too. We're so, like, Kathy Nelson, that group, they went to Chicago for the first draft. You know, they did what they needed to do. It's like NHL 21 that's going around to all the NHL All-Star games. It's the Stanley Cup, trying to bring, just giving us a presence, you know, just showing that Kansas City cares. World Cup the same way. I think that's huge when Kansas City would fill Power and Light to watch Team USA. I think that stuff goes a long way.
And that would be
in the soccer community and what Sporting does. You're a big, big Sporting guy. And you understand how good they do things and how they've really changed the perception of the city.
If we got the World Cup here, it would be the biggest thing that's ever happened in Kansas City. Like, biggest sporting event you could have here. It would be bigger than the Super Bowl coming here, just simply because of the fact that international soccer is the most popular sport in the world. So I think if we could be a host city for that, we can host anything here.
Well, I'm interested in it. You know, I've been pulling. Kathy Nelson's joined the show a bunch of times. I text her, I email her, I do everything because I told her I was going to give her a parade around 435.
Your friends are there?
Friend of the show. I mean, I'm trying to get in. I mean, this is what I want. This is what I want our city to have. Again, $14.2 million for the Big 12 tournament. That is chump change compared to what the NFL draft brings your city. It's chump change.
And Chump Change for what the World Cup can bring to this.
Nashville team. Can do it. We can do it.
Yeah, I agree.
Mahomes, can he throw 100 yards or not? That's the question. We'll bring that up next.
Big at Night.
Hardee's used to think bowls were useless dishware. Then we created the new Loaded Hash Round Bowl. Crispy potatoes, fluffy eggs, sausage gravy, melted cheddar, and crumbled bacon. Now part of our $2 for $4 mix and match deal. No longer are bowls just college football games you can nap to. Now they're loaded with Hardee's delicious breakfast favorites. And in our $2 for $4 mix and match, try a bowl today. They're actually really useful. Hardee's because it tastes better.
Available for a limited time during regular breakfast hours at participating restaurants. Tax not included. Price and participation may vary.
Green Valley, the gateway to Kansas City. Here's Mayor Mike Todd on what citizens value the most by living in Green Valley.
I think number one, a lot of them that come there because of the school district. Number two is our proximity to Kansas City. You know, 20-30 minute commute to downtown. And I think a lot of people come to Green Valley looking for the small town feel, but still being able to have the amenities like grocery stores and such close by.
Learn more about the green opportunities in Green Valley by visiting our website at cityofgreenvalley.org. Or visit us on Facebook, Green Valley, the gateway to Kansas City.
Welcome back to Big at Night. Jay Binkley, Chris Nocero, producing the operation. Been a while since I worked with Chris, and he brings a lot of fun surprises. Royals game called off today in St. Louis. So we got to wait till tomorrow. Nice little doubleheader. So you can just sit around 12:15, 6:45, listen right here. 610 Sports Radio. Kevin McCarthy, the call-up. For the Kansas City Royals. Been pretty good his last eight outings. He struggled early on. Well, you know how he struggled when he got up here to Kansas City. He struggled a little bit in Omaha, and he's kind of put things together the last couple of weeks for the Storm Chasers. So it'll be Kevin McCarthy getting the call up, not Bubba. I know people were expecting Bubba, but you're going to have to wait a while. We're trying to find out. I just texted Kathy Nelson. I said, what's going on with this Cleveland? There's not an official, like, rap sheet's not on it, and these guys aren't on it yet, so I kind of wait for them to be on it. But there is rumors. The Cleveland's got it. I never know which Twitter accounts. I know that they're up there. It's Kansas City, Denver, and Cleveland, basically.
You think Kathy's going to give it up? Do you think she's really going to give you the scoop here?
She'll give the answer. She'll say, yeah.
You think she's going to give you the scoop, or is she going to wait till tomorrow to answer
Schefter
that text?
Didn't even have it. Come on. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Schefter probably got it. He just can't. Well, he's like under a moratorium or something, so he can't reveal.
Man.
I think people know. They're under a moratorium because the NFL wants to. Because, you know, it's their birthday thing. So they want to, like, reveal this on their terms, you know? So I think everyone knows.
Have Mahomes come out and get it for us.
The NFL might actually let him break it because he's their new golden boy now.
That's right. He was doing draft coverage.
Yeah.
But Pat Mahomes was on this Barstool podcast, and he was with Anthony Sherman, and we've talked about this a lot. Of course, guess what the Chiefs are playing next year? They're playing in Mexico City. We're supposed to play the Rams there this year. It got canceled. There was some concert there. It tore up the field. It was terrible. They're going back again this year. But the one thing about it is, how far can he actually throw the football? That's the real question. Denver's altitude is about 5,200, I think, where Mile High is. Parts of the city, Denver, 5,600. You're looking at about 7,200, Chris, in Mexico City. So you got a higher altitude. You have a higher altitude in Mexico City than you do in Denver, Colorado.
Yeah.
So Mahomes talking, you know, 83, 85 yards in Denver. He can probably add to that, he thinks, when he throws at Mexico City. But here's Mahomes on Barstool's podcast.
How far do you think you could have thrown the ball if you had played that game in Mexico City?
Probably 100.
100?
Yeah, because like, I got it like 80, 83 in Denver, and then you have to times it by two because it's like 2 miles above altitude.
Yeah, it's the highest stadium in the world. Damn. Yeah.
So can Mahomes do it? That's the real question. They're not going to try. I mean, there's not going to be anything in the playbook to throw it 100 yards.
Let's hope he doesn't have to throw it 100 yards in that stadium.
I mean, by that time, Hill should be back. So you would have that McCole Hardman. Maybe he could get down there and catch it. But first of all, how are you going to protect him to be 100 yards? I mean, you got to be very careful because he's going to be in the end zone. So you got to protect he's not going to get a safety. And then you have to someone get down the field and throw it 100 unless he just wants to air it out and just show he can do it and just sits there and.
I think Mahomes has to do it now. Like, if he's in pregame, he's got to just chuck it as far as he can in pregame and just see what happens. And then we're going to have to see whether he's you know, BSing or not, if he's, like, really serious about this. Because I think now, like, regardless of whether he can or he can't do it, the legend is going to be that he can now because we know that he can throw, like, 80 yards.
This thing has gotten legs.
Yeah, yeah. And so, like, now it's going to be like, oh, can he do it? And then, you know, he obviously still has to do that competition with Josh Allen for as far as like throwing strength and whatnot. Like, I think now we've gotten to a point where he's kind of backed himself into a corner and he has to do it now.
Well, Josh Allen challenged him. And Lee Steinberg, his agent, said, no, this is true. They're looking for a charity component, and they're trying to find a way to get Josh Allen here. There's no way Mahomes loses that to Josh Allen.
A way to get him here. Just get on a plane.
Well, I know, but they're not that hard. I think they're doing the stuff they have to do.
Yeah, like it's not that hard. Just
get him a nice hotel
fly
room.
Him here. It's not that hard. It'd probably take Lee Steinberg, because Lee Steinberg got connections.
Oh, he does.
Ten minutes tops to book this whole thing.
Well, NFL.com's got a story on it now. And talking about, you know, Studio Azteca sits, Estadio Azteca, excuse me, sits at 7280. Bronco Stadium sits about 5280. So it's about 2,000 feet higher in the air with the altitude in Mexico City. So could he actually throw it that far or not? They debated it, actually, on NFL Network. First of all, what do you think? You think he can do it or not?
Probably.
How's he going to get an opportunity to do it? That's the question.
Just pregame. He's not going to do it in the. He's not going to do it in the game. Like that's a dumb idea. I think he's going
to
do it like
you'd have to back yourself up.
Yeah, man. Exactly. Like though, if they were, who are they playing in Mexico?
Chargers.
The Chargers? Nah, no, because like you're not going to get a chance where you're going to like need to do that. But if they were playing like the Raiders down there. You know, they might, like, Andy Reid might just, like, be cocky and just be like, hey, let's take it at the one. And then just see if Andy, Pat can do it, just to see if he could do it.
Are we
just
worried
to, like,
about him throwing
highlight?
His arm out, though? We don't want to see the kid get Tommy John or anything, do we?
No, this isn't like baseball. You're not, like, it's not the same thing. Like, how many quarterbacks do you see who throw hard have to get Tommy John? It doesn't happen.
How many Big Macs could Breland Speaks eat?
Oh, man.
That's a different story. We saw this picture of
I take the over on whatever number you come up with.
And Breland didn't look so good. He wasn't exactly in playing shape. Some of the pictures we saw earlier. First of all, I'm still wondering how those pictures leaked out there.
The Chiefs.
Here's Good Morning Football with Kyle Brandt and Nate Burleson and Peter Schrager debating whether Mahomes could throw it 100 yards or not. Your chance at $1,000, by the way, our national cash contest comes up in about 5 minutes. But here's the NFL Network debating whether they can throw it 100 yards or not.
What if in that game in Mexico, they're down five and a punt is down on the 2 yard line and there's less than 30 seconds left and they need Mahomes, they need a touchdown in one play. What if he is called upon to throw the ball 100 yards?
You remember, you go back to his pro day, okay?
Yeah.
And he's doing a standard pro day and he's throwing passes and, you know, scouts are not. And the last play of his pro day, he goes to the red zone, goes to the 20-yard line.
Wait, so guys are packing up.
Guys are leaving. It's done.
Hey, looks pretty good, this Mahomes guy. Yeah, maybe
wait a minute.
Second round, yeah.
Goes to the 20-yard line and throws it the entire length of the field, throws it 80 yards in the air. It ends up going in the top 10. Mm-hmm.
Believe it or not, though, he can pull that off.
I say yes. Listen, Dante Culpepper was one of the strongest arms ever.
Okay.
First of all, 100 yards? No way.
Hear me out.
He broke this finger at practice because I was talking trash, and I tried to catch one of his bullets, and I thought I lost the tip of my finger, right? He wanted to prove to me how hard he can throw. Another time at practice, he sits on a knee. He throws 75 yards. This is Dante Culpepper. Some say that Pat Mahomes has a stronger arm than any other quarterback to ever put on an NFL jersey. So I say all that to say is, if I saw a guy throw 75 yards with my own eyes on one knee, yes, I do believe that Pat Mahomes could throw 100 yards.
I once talked to Jose Canseco,
how is that?
Big golfer. And he said, yeah, I love golf. I'm like, Jose, you're strong as you are, you must be able to hit it. Can you hit it like 400 yards? And he goes, 450. And I'm like, Jose, BS. You cannot hit the ball 450 yards. No human can. I don't care how thin the air is, how much the wind, 100 yards. By the way, 80 to 90 is nothing to be ashamed of. 100, no. No, I don't believe it.
They say that the Denver altitude lets kickers kick an extra 5 yards. Mexico City is supposed to be that times two. So let's bring in the elements. It's not, he's saying that he's
talk
doing,
about it, Trey.
I'm not doing it in Arrowhead.
Hey, take us to school, Trey.
I'm not doing it in Atlanta. In
okay.
I'm doing it in Azteca. In Azteca.
Okay.
Where the
Mars?
The altitude's about 1 billion feet in the air. And the ball's going to be flying. So if he gets some air and distance on this thing, we're talking 100 yards. I say yes.
The underselling it.
Yes.
He gets 120 yards.
120.
We will find out, gentlemen. I just love that you guys could literally go till the end of the show talking about this.
No doubt. Kyle's over here talking about, I don't believe it, I don't believe it.
Nope.
At one point, we didn't know if somebody could stick their arm in the rim, and now kids are doing it routinely.
I see this little skinny white kid running the 100 meters in 9 seconds.
That kid's incredible. True. Ted Ginn got crowned by
Zion's been dunking since the third grade, man.
100 yards? Come on.
Nate, he gave us this as a gift. That's what I really think. Patrick Mahomes, this was for this show.
I do. I agree.
This is for you, Schrager, for all your love.
When you do a show on May 21st about the NFL, you need to talk about 100-yard passes.
Jared Lorenzen can do it. I'll stand the show.
Everybody's talking Pat Mahomes on NFL Network. By the way, Chris Ketz, the father of one Jason Ketz that works right here at 610 Sports Radio, said tornado warning near Topeka. And I know Topeka's in the listening area for us here. He just tweeted that out on Twitter. So there's some, thought it was kind of moving past us. I thought it was all gone, but I guess not. You know what happens at the peak? It usually comes this direction. So we'll keep you guys posted. I need the weather machine here is what I need. I need Sean Levine.
Coming up next.
Sean Levine had the most epic weather takes, but we'll keep you posted if we need to keep you posted for sure. But coming up next is Scott Pioli at his commencement address for his college. Actually talked about the Javon Belcher incident, about being right there. And we all know what happened. This is really the first time I've heard Scott Pioli talk about that. We bring you that, plus give you $1,000 in the National Cash Contest next.
Big at Night. Royals baseball all season long, exclusively on 610 Sports Radio.
And welcome back to Bank at Night. Jay Binkley, Chris Nocero producing the operation. Time for the National Cash Contest. That's right, on the 30s, up to $12,000 a day in a National Cash Contest. Text CLOSE to 72881. CLOSE, C-L-O-S-E, CLOSE. Text that to 72881. 610 Sports Radio, the only sports radio station in Kansas City, giving you a chance to win $1,000 on the 30s. That's the last chance for today. Be listening tomorrow morning, Fesco in the morning at 7:30. We're trying to keep you updated on the weather. I guess there's a tornado warning at the peak. I guess there's a tornado on the ground out there, and I know that's in our listening area. So Shawnee and Jackson counties in Kansas, not Missouri, large and extremely dangerous tornadoes on the ground, it says. So,
yeah, it looks like it's heading northwest. I mean, in the north, it's on the northwest side of Topeka, heading towards Nebraska. But we also have a cell that's heading towards us that should be here later tonight. So,
but it looks,
keep a lookout.
How much later tonight?
I didn't see the exact time, but it should be later. It looks like it's approaching pretty quickly. But that storm
it goes through,
The side with the tornado producing side looked like it was heading towards Nebraska on the radar. Right.
We'll keep you guys posted if we know anything more on that. It was close to 72881. The question in the text line said that you can't get Tommy John torque on your arm from curveball. Straight arm throw of a football won't cause that. Jake Delhomme did have Tommy John surgery. Carson Palmer was supposed to get Tommy John surgery, but he elected to sit out and let his elbow heal. But you can still tear ligaments. You can get tennis elbow. You can get a bunch of things.
Yeah, you can get it.
Trying to overextend. I mean, I've gone out there trying. I mean, maybe CDOT does that to his arm tomorrow when he's trying to throw it 50 yards. When he threw it out there on the drive, that he could throw it 50 yards.
Knowing how the universe works, that actually might happen because you said it.
I just give him credit for doing it, man. I'll give people credit for doing anything. I want to do beer chugging, but legal won't let me do it. So, I mean, you know, there's certain things.
You can't do beer chugging?
No, I don't think so. Not legally.
Are you talking about on the...
I could probably do it on my own.
On your own? But you can't do it on the station account?
No.
Really?
Just me. I could probably do it myself. I mean, it's just non-sponsored event.
Okay, so they don't let you do it at any station event?
It'd just be me, Bank, going out and doing it, you know?
Okay. So if we do, like, a station event at, like... You're like, we do like
no,
the show.
You can't do it.
You can't cheer about
nope.
a beer chug there.
Nope. I learned that the hard way. My first boss, the two bosses ago, I was in St. Joe. I was doing a show with Vern. It was Vern and me and JC.
Yeah,
we were doing
the
big show. And we were at Uncle D's.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept talking about challenging people to drink the beer towers.
Yeah, you were doing that a lot.
And I quickly got I did a lot of that. Yeah. But I quickly got email from the boss at that point.
Said
there'll be no more talking about beer chugging contest.
Really?
Yeah, yes.
Legal doesn't let us do that.
Please keep your thoughts to yourself. You can do it on your own time, whatever you want. Just do whatever you want, but it's on you. It's on your own time, but the station has nothing to do with it.
Really? I didn't know there were legal ramifications for that.
You know what? I learned. Quickly learned.
Guess you learn something every day.
Scott Pioli did the commencement speech and where he graduated. And he brought up failing. And it's extremely humble. This is Scott Pioli, how you've never heard him. And he talks about the Javon Belcher incident as well. This is the commencement speech he just gave.
Sometimes it'll be small failures, sometimes it'll be epic. Several years ago, I experienced epic failure. You know, there was a time in my career I started out and things went well. became a lead partner with my good friend Bill Belichick up in New England, and we were able to help create this really cool dynasty. And at some point in time, we all get the opportunity to ride the wave. A couple years later, I took another job to be a general manager at the Kansas City Chiefs. And I went there, and at the time, the Chiefs were one of the worst franchises in the NFL. Being there for two years, the group of people that I worked with and myself brought the team to a division championship, and we were on our way. 2 years later, I was fired. We failed epically, and I was leading the ship. We failed on the field, we failed off the field. We ended up having the worst record in all of football that year. I was fired. Compounding that, making matters even worse, during my last month with the Kansas City Chiefs, a player that I loved dearly, thought that I knew very well, murdered his girlfriend one Saturday morning before a game, came to the office after murdering her, came to the office to speak to me. I talked to him in the parking lot. Minutes later, I watched him shoot himself in the head. A month later, I was fired. I earned that firing, just like I had earned the success I had before. My point in telling that story is not for sympathy, is not for anything. I remember after that happened, because I was the person in the parking lot with him and trying to talk him out of it, you know, people were trying to victimize me in the sense that they felt so sorry for me. It was horrible, horrible tragedy. And in that moment, and even today, you know, it was a tragic thing that I watched happen and happen in front of me, but I wasn't a victim. The victim were the parents of the young lady that was murdered. The victims were his parents. The victim was the small child that was left alone in this world without any parents.
It's Scott Pioli in his commencement speech. And, you know, they just stepped away from the Falcons recently. He spent 5 years there. He said he really was only going to do 3 years. Stepped away, and many have speculated maybe he's going to the Jets. But Central Connecticut is where he was given that commencement speech. It's where he went to school. And that's very humbling when he said, I failed. And he goes, I deserved my firing. That was the worst record. And, Chris, you know, you're from here. You've lived here all your life like me. In my opinion, that was the worst season I've ever seen since I've been alive, and I'm 46, of the Chiefs and the Royals. I'm talking, I don't care if the Royals went out and lost 100. That Chiefs team was so bad. And that whole Javon Belcher incident, the Eric Winston incident, that was such a bad, bad and just dark year around the Kansas City. The banners were flying. Clark Hunt's meeting with people. He gets rid of Pioli after spending all that money. But it takes a lot of nerve for him to say I was an epic failure. I deserve that firing. Props to Scott Pioli on that.
I do think you got to give him props for that, because very few people in this world are actually willing to admit they were wrong or willing to admit that they deserve to be fired when they deserve to be fired. So props to him for that, because I'll tell you this. There's a lot of people that we all encounter in life that are never, ever mature enough to admit when they were wrong or admit when they didn't do things good enough. So kudos to him for that. That year was a disaster.
No, it was.
That year was it was just everything about it was the most embarrassing year I've ever had as a fan of any team ever. I mean, just nothing about that year went right. And I think everybody here in Kansas City thought that season would turn out a whole hell of a lot better. They thought they would, okay, they might, Jamaal Charles healthy, get back to the playoffs, we're good. You know, maybe we can see if they can, you know, try and actually make a good run at a title. And everything fell apart within the first month of the season. And then after that, everything that could go wrong did go wrong. And then obviously everything was capped off with that terrible Javon Belcher situation. And, you know, that was like a really dark day for Kansas, us Kansas City sports fans.
That is just unheard of in professional sports.
You don't expect that to happen.
It happened right here in our backyard.
Yeah.
You know, and imagine Pioli, because he went to talk to Romeo and like Gary Gibbs, the linebacker coach. I mean, he went to speak to some people. These guys went out there, you know, unarmed.
Yeah.
You know, they did not know what happened. They did not know what just happened. Because if they did know what just happened, they might have locked themselves in the building and not gone out.
Maybe.
There.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they were like, because they know the guy. So
but think about
like,
this,
hey.
Though. But think about this, though. How do you know he's not mad at you? Like, if you're Pioli and you have a good relationship with him, but he wants to talk to you after just murdering somebody.
Yeah.
And he's got a loaded gun with him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, brass cojones for going out there and even talking to him.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Totally. By going out there and confronting a man that's, well, at that point, suicidal and a murderer at that point. And he goes out and confronts him. And it's amazing the Chiefs were able to play that week. I mean, we didn't have a lead. We were getting compared to the 1927 Buffalo Bison.
Yes.
That was just, we get the first pick in the draft. But that was just a miserable season. I remember doing the post game with Baldinger that year.
Yeah.
And we basically just consoled everybody because we were so bad. And I'll never forget that morning. I was at the gym. And we kind of sent a group because we did not have a program director.
We were directorless.
It's what you call the boss. Our boss mm-hmm. hadn't shown up here yet, so KMBZ was kind of overseeing us a little bit. We had no direction, and we did consult with our former boss. You know, how do we handle this? What should we do? And so we had questions of what to do. I remember Fesco came in live. I came in live. Kling came in live. Danny Parkins.
Yeah, I was listening.
Went out to the stadium. It was kind of like the Giordano deal where just kind of everybody came together here and we didn't want to pass out any news until you knew what happened. But I just remember just how bad that incident was. And here's Pioli that, you know, saw the man take his life, you know, right there in the parking lot at Arrowhead Stadium. Unbelievable. Just thinking that actually happened.
And that's probably something that's like he's had in his head all of these years since he's left Kansas City and gone to Atlanta.
That's just the worst sports thing that's ever happened.
That's something that has probably, that image has been in his head for a long time. And it might be, he might have some regrets as far as like, maybe I should have done more. Maybe I should have checked on Javon more. Maybe I should have, you know, because like, you know, especially for like a general manager, you get close to these guys. They kind of become like kids for you.
Yeah, they totally do. And I understand that people weren't happy with Scott and they wanted him gone. And I'll give Clark Hunt the credit for going out and getting him because he was the hot name.
He was talking about
three-time executive of the year mm-hmm. in New England. And you went out and got him. And then you know how much money he had to spend to send Pioli and Cornell and all these guys away?
Yeah, he had to spend a lot of money to get them out of Kansas.
But just think of where we are now compared to where we were then. I mean, that was the darkest day. And now we're talking about the cusp of the Super Bowl with the MVP. Think about where the Chiefs have gone from that day. I mean, we can all remember 2012 and how bad that was.
Yeah.
Fast forward to now. And where Reed has his team. But, you know, I'll give him credit. He says, I failed. And you know, here's the guy with Super Bowl rings on his finger. Here's the guy that drafted Tom Brady. You know, the GOAT, admitting he failed. I think we can all admit we failed before. I certainly have. I failed many times. Many, many times. I've had shows that have failed. I've had marriages that failed. I mean, I think we all fail. It's whether we can admit it or not.
Yeah, I think you got to give Pioli a lot of credit for, like, owning it. Because there are a lot of former coaches, there are a lot of former general managers, and a lot of former players that are not mature enough to go out and say what Pioli said in that commencement speech. So I gotta give him a lot of credit for what he said there, because I think that Pioli very much has been he might be one of the biggest villains in Kansas City history.
Yeah, but I think it's time to, you know.
And I still think people are going to dislike him because.
No, they are, but he didn't give Bo that money when Bo wanted it. He didn't refuse to pay him.
I think some fans would be cool with that. I mean, I don't have any issue with him not paying Tony
Bo that
money.
But when a man admits right there, I failed.
Yeah.
He goes, I deserved my firing. There was no bitterness saying the Chiefs should have kept me. No, I deserve to be fired. We had the worst record. I deserve to be fired. I love it. It's taking personal accountability. Again, we all fall. We all make mistakes. We're not perfect. Well, maybe someone is perfect. I don't know. I'm not.
No, nobody here is perfect.
I mean, I failed countless times. I fell all the time.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I fail in my daily life. You know, I got to get used to it and got to get over it. But I learned a lot from that. I went and listened to it a couple times. Fesco really brought it out this morning. That's where I first heard this when Bob had said he watched it a couple times. And they played it this morning on Fesco in the morning. And I was like, I could not turn the radio off. I was like, wow. Yeah. That is some powerful stuff from Scott Pioli admitting he failed. And I said, you know what, in life, maybe we all should admit at times we fail.
Yeah, maybe he'll be a little bit less of a villain here in Kansas City once you hear him go out and be forthcoming about that.
Well, he does a lot of work with charities and everything.
Yeah.
I mean, he does a lot of.
Yeah, but I don't think a lot of people know about that. So for like to be able to hear him go out here and admit to his mistakes like that, that could be a good way for Kansas City Chiefs fans to kind of bury those years and be content with that. Yeah, it's in the past. Now we got Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah. Well, I know I've certainly failed, and I guess it's okay to admit it. it's okay to admit it.
You know? I failed in the first segment when I called.
We all failed.
The Liberty Memorial.
We all failed. My health fails. You know, I walk with the cane sometimes, you know, mm-hmm. so be it. You know, I can't believe I put that on the air, but I just did. But we all fail. We just got to get back and up and rise. Coming up next, though, Chris and I will react to this because I want to get your opinion on this. Sporting News rated the best coaches and quarterbacks. I find that interesting. We'll talk about that next.
Bink at Night. Download the radio.com app to listen to 610 Sports Radio wherever you are.
Welcome back to Bink at Night. Going to be joined by Craig Stout, ArrowheadPride.com defensive film analyst. We'll talk about the Chiefs defense and what they should do next. Pete Sweeney from ArrowheadPride.com stops in studio at 7:30. Isn't it funny how the differences are, Chris, between the NFL and Major League Baseball? Major League Baseball, you get PEDs, everybody shuns you. In the NFL, you get them and you get extensions, like Julian Edelman. Like, you know, you get in trouble for PEDs, yeah. And then boom, you get a contract extension. We forget. I don't think we care in the NFL. I really don't.
No.
I don't think we care at all.
No, because it's not as much of a stat-based sport
it
as
is
baseball
weekly.
Is.
It is weekly. It is week-to-week in football because of fantasy football.
Exactly. Like, that matters in that retrospect. But, like, I think one of the things is we kind of don't want to see that whole steroid cloud envelop the NFL because, to be honest, we want to see these guys big, strong, as fast as they possibly can be. And, like, baseball is a little – it's certainly got an older audience, but it also is way more stat-driven than football is. So I think that, you know, in that instance, like – and because of the stigma of cheating in that sport in general with, like, Shoeless Joe Jackson and the Black Sox and whatnot, I think because of that, there's so much of a stink over cheating in that game that any sort of cheating whatsoever is going to be looked down upon. Football doesn't have that stink at all.
We just care so much about it in baseball. It's all about stats and career stats. Mm-hmm. And again, the NFL, we care what you do it every week. Week to week.
I honestly don't think like people could name like the top 10 all-time. Very many people could name the top 10 all-time rushers in NFL
history. They've shifted from 14 games to 16 games.
Yeah, and it's shifted around. And on top of that, just because like I don't think the all-time numbers really matter so much in the sport of football as much as they do in like baseball, which is like, again, a very stat-driven sport compared to football. So
you remember when Adrian Peterson was going for Dickerson's record? It was a big deal probably in Minneapolis.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't that big a deal nationally?
Yeah,
they stopped the game a little bit to show it or whatever, but no one cared.
No one cared about that, and like
500 home runs, we care about.
Yeah, if Mahomes like ever breaks like the career touchdowns record, it's not going to be as impressive as like when Barry Bonds broke the home runs record. You know, it's just not because I don't think as many people care about that record as they do like the baseball all-time home runs record.
Well, you remember when Mahomes beat Dawson's touchdown record?
We cared about that. That's the one we cared about because unfortunately our quarterback history here in Kansas City has been pretty bad.
It was, but do you remember when he passed that? I mean, it was early in the season too. It was
when Tyreek took the camera.
Yes.
He took control of the camera, and didn't he get a fine for that? I think he got a fine for that.
I think so.
Which is, you know,
but
stupid.
I think NFL liked it. I think they even tweeted about it and everything else.
They liked it, but they, you know, there's a lot of people with the, you know, that are like starch and stiff, and they don't want their sports to be fun. So like, oh, you can't do that. But I think NFL should allow people to take control of cameras for
some reason. Dawson had 30 touchdown passes. I don't know what was worse, that or Balboni's 36 home run.
It was the 30 touchdowns.
Do you think so?
Yeah, because like Kansas City's always had a hard time.
In the 80s, we still ran the ball a lot, but people passed
it. Kansas City has always had a hard time getting home run hitters. But 30 touchdowns.
They're both bad.
Think about how many times we've seen quarterbacks throw 30 touchdowns in NFL history, especially recent history, too. I mean, you're telling me that Alex Smith couldn't throw 30? Kirk Cousins has thrown 30 in his career before, but Alex Smith couldn't throw 30? Hey, come on now.
In a passing league, I mean, you know, Mahomes was bound to get that. I mean, he blew past it, too.
Oh, yeah, I thought he was going to get 33, and then, you know, he made my number look very conservative.
He could do 30 in his sleep.
Yeah.
I mean, oh, Mahomes. That I don't know. I remember talking about debating that. What's worse, that or Balboni's record, which is not, Moose owns that record now, but it stood for a long time.
I think it was Lynn Dawson because like the history of
but baseball had the steroid era. It's like the rails were clean.
There weren't a whole lot of. I was actually disappointed
the
when I looked at that.
The rails went right through the steroid area.
There were no Royals. Like, it's Jason Grimsley. That was it. I was like, come on. Now, none of you guys in the 90s could have took some steroids and hit 37 home runs.
Listen, you know what?
None of you.
You know what I do think helped it? This new ball. Because this ball is flying.
Yeah,
out
this
the
ball's
ballpark.
Juiced. Yeah.
Major League Baseball is already shattering records for the most home runs hit. They're using the same ball in AAA and they're just flying out of the ballpark. And they weren't using the same ball before. And record after record. Remember the month of May last year, June, it was like the most home runs ever. And then like 2017, the most ever hit in a season. They're going to blow past that this year. It's crazy. It's crazy.
Bellinger had like 14 in the first month of the season.
No, he's crushed.
Yeah, no. That's because baseball knows that offense is going to get the ratings back. If it does. I think we might be past that point where
it's not going to get people to the ballpark. It's already like close to 300,000 less. But you know what? They're still making more money. Because the TV rights.
They're charging more. And the TV rights. But they're also charging more for games.
Springer has 17 already. Yelich already with 19. Bellinger's got 17.
Yelich doesn't look like he should be hitting that many home runs either.
And Josh Bell is crushing them. For Pittsburgh, you put one in Allegheny. Yeah. There's only like second or third home run ever hit in the river there. It's not like McCovey Cove in Pittsburgh.
I think if none of the current Royals on the squad break Moose's record this year, because I know like Dozier and Soler were on pace to go out and break the record. If none of them do it, a few years from now, Sully Matias, kid, I think he's with Wilmington right now. That kid, he might do it.
Did you see Bellinger's still hitting over 400? He's hitting 405. Melky's hitting 341. Speaking of PEDs, remember that fake website he created? Like, in fact, when don't you remember that whole deal with Melky?
Oh,
look that up sometime. That. Look up the website.
Melky Cabrera fake website.
Look up the fake website. Anyway, when I come back, we'll talk top 10 GMs. We'll talk top 10 coaches and top 10 quarterbacks before we talk to Craig Stout of ArrowheadPride.com. Very interesting stuff. We'll talk about that next.
Bing at night.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.